Okay, all right. I'm just filling in before that everyone sits down.
That's fine. Really. You keep filling in while I find my sermon.
This is the continuity bit. So Nick and Jackie, big news. New minister at Stanwell. And hence our joint service in a couple of weeks' time. So,
well, that was already happening.
Oh, well, was it?
Okay.
It looked as if it was a plan. So.
Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you. Your best as a solo artist, Mark, will never make a double act. How many of you here were dragged up in church like me? Sorry, were nurtured and brought up within Sunday school and, yeah? Many of you. The thing is about those days, if they were anything like mine, you know, all we sang was hymns. Remember? I remember when Mission Praise arrived, it was like, what is this? But, you know, the thing is with many of those hymns, they're just there. They're stuck. And many of those hymns are not just stuck there, they're stuck here too. By the way, this is an aside, this isn't part of the sermon, but, you know, the reason that they're stuck there was because God is in them. But I want to say to you that if you want to know what God is saying to his church in any day, listen to the songs that are being written in that day. That's why we need new. It's good to go back to the old. It's good to revisit those things that God has said to us. But what is God saying now? Those of you that have gifts in songwriting, use it. Listen to what God is saying. So that might sing out amongst the people. That's an aside. But one of those hymns that's been going through my mind over the last couple of the weeks, Praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. We're going to sing it when I finish. Do you remember that one? Praise to the Lord. And you've got to do it like this. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Do you remember? Everyone's shoulders was going all what they sang. Yeah, remember? Oh, my soul, praise him for. Do you remember? But it's that last verse. Praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore him. Join in with me. All that have life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly for a we adore him. I was waiting for the conductor to come out. You got a choir here. Let the Amen sound from his people again. That's what's been going through my mind over this week and a bit longer. What does Amen mean? Pardon? So be it. Yeah, that's good enough. I agree. How many ways can you say it that you agree? Come on, let's have some of them. Alright. Alright! Yeah! Go for it! Absolutely! Affirmative. Get it, pardon? Get in there! Yeah, keep on coming. Assuredly. Certainly. Keep coming. Indeed. Beyond a doubt, by all means, even so, fine, gladly, good. True that? Yeah. Is that in our hearts to say amen in that way? To say yes, undoubtedly, unquestionably, willingly, without fail, yea, yes. Or in the words of Jean-Luc Picard, make it so. There's a great clip on YouTube of all the times that he says, make it so. That's a great, great term for amen. Make it so. You see, when we're saying amen, we are saying yes to God. If we've prayed well, all we've done is prayed back to God what he's already put in our hearts. And as we express it with our voice and we speak out what God has already put in us by His Spirit, it will cause everything with our being to say, Amen. Yes. Make it so. Let's do it. Amen is a reaction to the prayers that we pray. It's a reaction to what the Holy Spirit has put in us. And everything within us reacts. It's something that we preachers are after from time to time, some sort of reaction. You've been very good so far. Joined in the singing, that was really good. It's so disappointing when people don't react. It's just hard work preaching when they're just dead, isn't it? You know, when they're just, you know, you might as well be home doing it online. Well, I know how hard it is because I sit there as well and I just sit there too. But let me tell you, we need a little bit of reaction. Even if it is, as Tony Campola once said, when someone said, help him Jesus, some sort of reaction. It's so, so disappointing when you don't get a response. I've got to tell you something that happened this week. As you know, yes, I've received this call. Now, the role that I'm in now is regional minister across South Wales, team leader for South Wales. It means that about 9-10 times a year, all of us as team leaders around the UK, we get together and we do the Baptist Dating Agency. Sorry, prayerfully consider how ministers and churches should go together. And those that have settled, that's what it's called, the National Settlement Team, those who have received a call and settled in a church, we report that at the meeting. I've been doing this job 15 years, and I've always sort of thought of that time. Imagine that time when it's time for me to move on, and I will announce it at National Settlement Team, amongst all the other settlements that are done. And I must confess, it is something that, perversely, I'm always thinking of what next, you see. But I've been doing it 15 years, and I've been thinking of this time when I will drop it in amongst the list of settlement changes as we go around the table reporting them. And so my time came, and I was so looking forward to it this week. And on Tuesday, there I was. And I was really excited about it. We're going around the room, and it came to me, and I was going through my settlement list. And in there I put, and Nick Bradshaw from the South Wales Baptist Association team leader of Stanwell Road as their new part-time minister. Thank you. Thank you. You've nearly redeemed it. But actually what happened is they just moved on. Nobody heard it. The chairman just moved us on. It just shows, doesn't it? No one was concentrating, and the truth is I probably haven't concentrated. I'm more looking at what, because there's so much we've got to do, and we're getting things on our computer ready for next. Nobody heard it. And it was so funny that evening when Robin, who's the administrator, because then I sent it in electronically, and he updates everything. And he came back and saying, is this right? And I said, yeah. And then everyone ran, because we were on downtime then on Tuesday evening where we were staying. I said, is this right? This email is just coming. Oh, well. It's going to be good. It's so sad when we don't react. And let's think about it. If we're praying or someone else is praying, we're hearing prayers of the heart, that if they're prayed aright, have been put there by God's Spirit, where God is planting things in our hearts that will come into that expression, and there's no reaction. It's so sad when God's people no longer say Amen. Think of who's saying it. The great I Am. I am the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was, I am. John 8. Either that's bad English or there's something significant that Jesus is saying. You remember when God revealed himself to Abraham, he said, I am to Moses, I am who I am. The seven sayings of I am that Jesus takes on his life, takes on his mouth as he speaks out. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the vine. Did you know that you could easily translate Amen simply to I am? I am. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, we read this, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Christ who is the I Am, who makes it a reality. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Just cast your minds back to the creation of the whole world, the heavens and the earth. And God spoke, and it was so. And you come to John's Gospel, and you read, in the beginning was the Word. The I Am, the Yes, the Amen. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Notice the connection between the two halves of verse 20 there. The first half says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. The second half says, that's why we utter Amen to the glory of God. When you realize that Amen and yes mean the same thing. Here's what the verse means. In Jesus Christ, God says his yes. He says his Amen. And so we, through those promises and in Christ, say yes and Amen back to God in prayer. Let the Amen sound from his people again. I've got it stands saying again, particularly at this time when we've announced a moving on, because I had to clarify this. I've got a vision statement, if you like, a mission statement across my life. And some of you may not know it or know how it came, but I was on retreat with some fellow regional ministers. God bless them. And there was no room in the retreat house. There's a theme here, isn't there? And so I was in my camper van in the car park. But there was this time when we were sent off, you know, as you do on retreat, you're sent off to contemplate your navel. You're sent off to search after the heart of God and allow God to speak to you. And it was raining and there was no room around. So I went in my camper van. I was sat in my camper van on the bed of my camper van and I was praying. And I got to confess, it was one of those times, because although now I am moving on, there have been many times during the last 15 years where I've wondered whether it was a time to move on. I said I'd only give it 7 years. And this was one such time, which was about 7-8 years ago. And I was just doing that thing that probably we've all done at some time and are agonizing, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's on your heart, Lord? I want to serve you. What is it that you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I was getting a little bit worked up. I want me to serve. And it doesn't happen to me very often, probably 2, maybe 3 times in my life. I think I would say I've heard the audible voice of God, where God simply said, Nick, what do you want? And I answered him. I said, I want to see Wales strong in the Lord, and in his mighty strength, I want to see Wales being a blessing to the nations. And then I suddenly thought, what did I just say? What just happened then? Because it was just as if we were having a conversation, me and God, and I suddenly realized, I've just had a conversation with God. What do you want? And out of, you know, that vision was already in me. But I suddenly articulated it. I went on a training thing a few years after that where they said, if you've got a mission statement, it's got to be less than 10 words. So I did that. It's now, Wales strong in the Lord and blessing the nations. That's a bit more snappy. Wales strong in the Lord and blessing the nations. It came out of me because it's on my life. And it's still on my life. And the truth is, Jackie and I have been wrestling about this all year, whether this was God or not. I said that I've only heard the audible voice of God a couple of times. One of the other times was the call into this role in terms of being regional minister team leader, South Wales, because it was really one of those moments where God did that. And I've needed that. I've needed to know that because it's been tough. This was different. This was more of, really, Lord? No, I haven't heard that right. And for months we've been agonizing. Surely this can't be right. I guess I have to rephrase it now. It's now become Penarth, strong in the Lord, and blessing Wales, and blessing the nations. And in coming to that, well, I'm glad about that. I'm glad it's got that reaction. Because in wrestling this through, because what happened, I'll tell you a little bit about it as I go along. Basically, Juliet retired at Christmas at Stanmore Road, and my role, as I say, is finding ministers for churches. So I went along to see them in the new year, just after Christmas, and we started talking about it. And they needed a moderator, someone to just walk with them for the time. And I knew I was a bit pressed, but I know I live in Penarth, so I said, well, okay. And in the end, we did a good deal, and John James is there to do pastoral stuff and look after them, and I was to talk about what their vision was. And so we did this double act in terms of looking after them. It was a fatal mistake, but hey. And as I say, there was this sense, Lord, are you saying something here? And we've been agonizing with it, and I did my lists, you know, the tables, the pros and cons, and I split those up, and I'd use the 5 CS's from Alpha, Nikki Gumbel's 5 CS's, really good, commanding scripture, compelling spirit, counsel of the saints, common sense, and circumstantial signs. It's good. And I had all these tables, and put writing things down under them, and the for and against. Still couldn't get anywhere. But I was preaching because there's a number of times that I've preached there. And I found myself preaching a message that I've preached here before, prompted by Andy Flanagan's song, We Are Blessed to Bless a World in Pieces, which in turn was prompted by the words of St. John on the cross, mission is put in love where love is not. And I preached that sermon, We're Blessed to Bless a World in Pieces. And the fact that, you know, we live in a blessed town, in an affluent town. A good percentage of the people living in Penarth are blessed. We're blessed in order to bless. I remember those times going back again, not just to the hymn singing and the shoulders rocking. But Tab, growing up in Tabs, there was something of that. I remember some of you did the same thing. We went off on teams all the way over the valleys doing different things. Sometimes it was with the choir, Agape. sometimes, yeah, those were the days. Who was in that? And Koinonia it became. Was anyone here that was in that choir? Because some of us were, and we were, all the girls had green crinkling dresses. And the guys, there was still material left over, so we had these green, and they were really bright, vivid green crinkling ties. But they weren't made as ties, they were just put on a little bit of elastic band with a little knot and cut out. And not cut out very well either. Sorry, what brought that back into mind? Anyway, where was I? Yeah, we were, you know, this business of just going out from Tabs. I mean, you know, growing up in Tabs, massive youth group, lot going for it. And discovering again and again around the valleys, people where, you know, meeting young people who are the only young person in their church. And going to churches where there's just a handful of folk. We're blessed. I had a blessed upbringing. We're blessed to bless a world that is in pieces. And really, as I was preparing and preaching that sermon, I said, okay. How do we do it? I'm getting to the sermon now, by the way. And don't worry, this isn't a Baptist sermon with 3 points. I've only got 1 point to make. And I've already said it, really. We need to remember that all God's promises are yes in Jesus. And we all have our places in Scripture where we go in order to discern this. I've been in Ezekiel. Now, you will probably think of Ezekiel 37, and I wouldn't blame you. Dry bones, God breathing breath into the bones. They kind of rattle, coming together, sinews, flesh, and then the breath of God. I didn't go there, but you could have done. But rather, I was taken to Ezekiel 47. Then the man brought me back to the entrance, and I saw water coming out from the threshold of the temple. The thing is, you remember that what God had done in 37 was this whole thing, you know, that God would breathe life. Don't forget, Ezekiel is in exile. The people of God have been taken off into exile. And even in that place, there's the promise, it won't be like this forever. God will bring life, breathe life again into his people. And then from Ezekiel 37 on, you have all this stuff of a measuring line, that measuring rod, where he goes around and measures out dimensions. They're the dimensions of the temple. He's measuring out all these dimensions, what the temple will look like. Don't forget, they're miles away. In Babylon, they've been carried off into exile. But he can visualize the temple being rebuilt. And he measures it out on the ground with this measuring rod. Don't miss the significance of that. We're at a time when the people of God saw the presence of God in the temple. The fact that they were no longer in the place where the temple was, and even what they knew of the temple, where it was all broken down. The promise that he would once again build his temple, and was even now given the dimensions that would happen for the new temple. That was something significant. Don't miss that significance of all this measuring porticos and all. And then we come to 47. The measuring rod is out again. And contained in this, going around, measuring out this water. You see, this same temple that had now been measured out, that visualized in his mind's eye, rebuilt. And out of the temple flows water. A stream. And he says to Ezekiel, go on, follow it. And he walks with his measuring rod, measures off 1,000 cubits. It's ankle deep. He measures off another 1,000. It's knee deep. Keeps going. It's waist deep. It keeps going until he has to swim. Lord's gracious at that time. He says, get to the bank before it goes horribly wrong. And on the bank are all these trees. Bearing flowers, bearing fruit. And there's this promise that as this stream flows out of the temple, this fresh water stream, and as it meets the salt waters, it will transform the salt waters. I don't know if you've ever had the joy of doing that. We did it once, swimming down with snorkel and mask from a river and joining the sea, and everything starts shimmering as the two meet. The transformation that takes place as fresh water meets salt water. Water flowing out from the temple, changing things, transforming things, bringing life. That's the promise here. When the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God brings abundant life, spiritual growth, increasing fruitfulness, healing. Ezekiel has this picture of what's going to happen. It's prophetic. I dare say that I don't know what limitations were on Ezekiel's understanding of that which he was prophesying at the time. Certainly, he could see in his mind's eye the temple. Certainly, that was the reality. Certainly, he knew that's where God dwelt. And therefore, if God is going to dwell there, that's where life is. But God was giving him something more about what is supposed to come out of the temple. We go to John 7, verse 37. Now, they're at the temple. That temple that had been rebuilt. That part of the prophecy that had been fulfilled. The temple had been rebuilt, and Jesus goes there. It's a feast time. They're celebrating. They're remembering. I dare say that that very passage had been read from a scroll. And Jesus says, if anyone's thirsty, come to me. The promise fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus said that these promises of Ezekiel would be filled, not in a place, but in a person. Jesus says, in me, in himself. Through the Holy Spirit, the streams of living water, here's the promise, will also flow through us. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flowing from within. The river of living water is therefore a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit, who brings life, who brings abundance, who brings blessing, and then flows out of us, has a positive impact on those who are unfortunate enough to have contact with us. That's the way it's meant to be. That as God's river flows in and through us, it's got to flow out again. If you recognize what I'm getting at, the only way that's going to happen is if you say, all this imagery points to life, to growth, to fruitfulness, to healing. It's a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ growing and bringing life wherever that river flows. Okay, we're in the temple this morning. We've come together. There's nothing like the body of Christ coming together, meeting with the living Christ, the gathered community. That's what we are at the moment, the gathered church. It's great. But when we go out of here, we continue to be the church that have tasted his life, that have been filled by his Spirit, and going out to make that a reality in every place, every nook and cranny where we find ourselves during this week. We're bringing that same life. We're taking the stream with us. For some of this week, it'll just feel ankle deep, if that. But if we're ready, if we're willing, if we're ready to say yes, it may be knee deep or waist deep. We may find ourselves swimming in it. Of course, there's more to come. Because in Revelation 22, 1-5, we have these words. On the last and greatest day of the... Sorry, that's the last verse I just did. Thank. Is there a Revelation 1 there? No? Oh, well. That's my fault. It's okay. About the promise yet to be fulfilled? Keep going. Doesn't matter. No, it's all right. Just go back to, let's keep let the amen up there. That's fine. You see, if you read in Revelation 22, we read again of this stream. Of the river once again flowing out. I want to read it, so I'm going to look it up. I thought it was up there, forgive me. You got it? Oh, it's there. Brill. Marvelous. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. I haven't got a clue what it's really going to be like, but it's going to be something, isn't it? We're not there yet. There's still a promise. Think what it was like for Ezekiel. Thinking forward while he's still there in captivity. Thinking forward to the temple being restored. Thinking forward, working out for his mind, what's all this but a river? I'm sure he would have known enough to know that it was something to do with blessing. Something to do with God's reign. Something to do with God's rule. Could he have foreseen Jesus saying, if anyone's thirsty, come to me? Could he have foreseen the Lamb on the throne? I think he could, because there's plenty of other things in his revelation that Ezekiel received that picture that, that are picked up again in Revelation. Ultimately, the river foreshadows, it anticipates this new Jerusalem, the city where God lives. God has an agenda. It's not of discussion points where we sit down and analyze and, oh, isn't this interesting? He's looking for a people who are willing, eager for his action to be carried out. Let the amen sound from his people again. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. If you pray that prayer, You know, you're opening up an opportunity for God to work in you, through you. Are you ready for it? You see, when it comes to God working us, we can make at least two mistakes. We can either ignore it, close it off, or another mistake we can simply make is confining that word to just making it too particular. Just wanting it to be too sorted out. Wanting it to be, okay, Lord, I think you're saying, if you can just give me that little bit more so I know exactly what it is that you want. Lord, what precisely are you saying? And by that, we keep putting it off and putting it off. There's another song. Wonderful love, streaming to me and to you. Love, grace, mercy, streaming, oozing, flowing out of the throne of grace, pouring forth from heaven, cascading down through the Spirit, with fire of the Spirit, right into our very hearts, and out again. And out again. What is the time? No one's walking out yet. I'd love to take you into the kitchen, because this was on my mind this week. The only way I could do this with the interns I was working with this week was actually to take them into the disabled toilet. Now, bear with me a second. I needed a tap. And so, it was in a crowded cafe, in the cafe up at the Rock where I worked one day a week, and I just opened the door of the disabled loo and just invited them one by one to go and pour themselves a glass of water. And it worked so well. Every one of them went and turned the tap on and filled it more or less to the full and was saying, thinking I gone nuts. Yeah, okay, and the next. And they all did the same thing. I said, that's fascinating, because I never ever pour a glass of water like that. Well, I do now, we've got one of the fridges, because it would make a mess. But, you know, if you give me a tap and a glass, I've always done it, and people have always commented on it. When I pour a glass of water, I put the tap on, and I stick it underneath, and I just have it there like this, and it pours in, and it flows over the top. And it's over the sink, so it's all right, it makes a mess. Otherwise, I'd do it with a jug here. But it's just the way I've always poured a glass of water. I don't know why, and people have said, what are you doing? But that's the way I've always done it. Are we people that just pour in just enough for a sip? Or even fill it to the full. Are we people that just allows it to cascade in, to overflow, spilling over the edges? That's what it takes. That's what it needs. That we sit under His grace, His mercy, His love, His blessing, His infilling. And we just say, come on, keep it coming. Keep it coming. But I want to tell you the degree to which it keeps coming. Yes, it is dependent on your receptiveness. But I want to tell you with all my heart this morning, it's dependent on more of that. I want to say to you, if you've ever been in worship and you felt you've been as open as you possibly can be, but it's still a bit dry, just start thinking of where you can take some of that during the week ahead of you, even as you're worshiping. And I guarantee you, the tap will be open. Unless we are prepared for the Spirit to flow out of us. It's not going to flow in the first place. It's not for our benefit. Or maybe for a little bit. But the key thing is for the blessing of the nations, for the healing of the nations. Amen? John Piper. I love some of the stuff he says. Don't like some of the other stuff, but I like some of the stuff. He says, we want the glory. But glory is good for God, very bad for us. We need grace. And lo and behold, the great design of things is that as we give God the glory, He gives us the grace. It's a good deal. And once we're in reception mode, once we're in agreement mode, once we're in amen mode, we're in a better position to hear the specifics. So what could God be saying to you today? What could God be doing? What could God be wanting to do in and through you? during this next few days, this next week, this next season of your life? What are you going to say yes to? It might be a struggle. Jackie and I have been struggling big time over these last 6 months. But we're there. And we're excited. We are. We're scared stiff as well, but we're excited. What could you see God doing in your life, in your family, in your setting? What could you see God doing in this town of Penarth or whatever it is that you live? What can you see God doing in this nation? What can you see God doing in this world that He's created? Are you living in the fullness, in the enjoyment? Because it is enjoying. It is exciting of saying yes. The enjoyment of God's yes to you in Christ Jesus. Or put it another way, have you said yes to all of God's yes to you? Is there any of God's yes to you which you're saying no? Or maybe. Or, well, not quite now. Prayer is, Lord, make it so. Yes. Amen. So be it. You know, it may be, if the band can come up, it may be old-fashioned now. But it's a prompting that I've had, and I've learned this week, you've got to go with promptings. That's why I'm singing. I was singing in the car this week. I'm really good in the car. When I'm in the car on my own singing, I'm really good. And I hear God say to me this week, I want you to sing this week. Ask them if you'll let you. So I asked. I've done it, Lord, okay? And another thing just this morning, He prompted me, and I say it might be a little bit old-fashioned, but as we sing the hymn, I wanted to sing the hymn anyway. But here's the toughie. Because I want to do a good old-fashioned altar call. Some of you know what I'm talking about. What I want you to do, that as we're singing this hymn, that if you are genuinely, truly wanting to say yes to God, you'll already be out of your seat, you'll already be standing, but if you're able, just to make your way to the front, there's not a lot of room, but there's enough room, and even if there isn't, just get in, moving from where you are and stepping forward a few steps, just something to articulate in your body what you're wanting to say in your spirit. Amen. Yes. And for some of you, that will be really specific. God will be pointing out what it is that He particularly wants you to do. For others of you, you won't have a clue what that means just yet. It's just simply about saying, okay, Lord, whatever, wherever, whenever, okay. And it might be a little bit fearful, but it's okay. For some of you, it might be a specific of things that you've been wrestling with for a long time. Maybe to the step of baptism. Maybe something specific He's been nagging away at you for a long time. Now's the time to say yes. Whether it's to finally, fully say yes to Jesus and say, come into my life, change me, make me yours, make me a part of this. Enable me to experience this love, this grace, this joy, this peace. And enable it to be a reality. Enable it to do something, to be a transforming effect in my life as I go on from here. Have I labored the point? That's what all the good preachers did in those days, didn't they? They just kept on going until you gave up. So let's sing the hymn. Sorry, you wanted to say something?
Can I labor it for 20 more seconds?
All right.